16, I have my first love. There was nobody that compared to my baby, and nobody came between us, no could ever come above. She had me going crazy, oh, I was starstruck. She woke me up daily, don't need no Starbucks. She made my heart pound and skip a beat when I see her in the street and at school on the playground. But I really wanna see her on the weekend. She knows she got me dazing, cause she was so amazing. And now my heart is breaking, but I just keep on saying,
we're back.
Hello.
So
we have,
rather than discussing what we were gonna be talking about for the next segment, we were putting together our news bulletin. Truth time.
There we go.
Yeah. But
What's in the news today? We could talk a bit about Margaret Thatcher. I don't know if they did that in the last week's
I'm sure it was, but we can talk about like recent revelations, because I mean they've had the entire weekend off from the news.
Mm-hmm.
Our news, so.
Yeah. Well,
talk about the famous people going to her funeral.
Yeah.
Because Twitter keeps updating that, apparently.
Oh, really? Oh.
I pulled up, I think I accidentally closed it, but I had a news article talking about who was going to Margaret Thatcher's funeral. Yep, here it is.
Is it on BuzzFeed? No.
Not on BuzzFeed, no. This is actually The Guardian, yeah. No, okay. Sometimes a good news source is a little bit more legit than BuzzFeed, which, by the way, is a quality website. You guys should all check it out. But yeah, it's like a bunch of like Twitter updates from people saying going to Margaret Thatcher's funeral. So like people like Michelle Bachmann, Newt Gingrich, John Boehner. A lot of American Republicans.
Republicans. I guess that would, but wasn't she, I would assume that's why they're going.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
was sort of like that. I'd also assume that's why a lot of people are happy that she's dead. Theoretically.
I don't understand people celebrating the death of a, like, you can be happy when she retired and, like, left politics, but I just don't understand, I don't know, that's just me, I'm old-fashioned. I just don't think people should be celebrating her death.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I think, situation. And I don't even know that it's people celebrating, it's just people wanting to celebrate, or, like, whatever. They just sort of go with it because they know it's what everybody else is doing.
Mm.
So they're just sort of like, oh, yeah, I'm so happy. But, you know, Facebook was ridiculous. I didn't see a lot of it, but some people were like, it's literally everything all over my news feed. And there, like, a lot of people were talking about it.
Yeah, I had a lot of friends.
Because a lot of the people who start talking about it, like, never talked about it when she was still alive but out of office. All of a sudden it becomes a big deal for some people.
Yeah.
Because she's died, whereas I feel like a lot of those people never paid attention to her.
Especially, so you think it's a lot of bandwagon?
Yeah, a lot of it being bandwagon. Or not necessarily affected by what she was saying. Yeah.
Right, which I just find a little bit, I don't know. It's fine to share an opinion, but I think you have to be able to understand like the context of the situation. So it's interesting. I just think it's a really interesting dynamic. But
yeah, I think it's just kind of a typical reaction for people of the internet generation, if we can use some jargon here. It is kind of, I'd say, typical. Like, that's how we all respond to things, like, especially when elections and stuff come around. It's everywhere, all over Facebook and Twitter and the internet and stuff, and you just, you know.
And it's funny how someone like Whitney Houston passes away and everyone is like, oh my god. And she was an amazing performer, but
She didn't have the greatest personal life.
Michael Jackson.
All those things never really come up, but then for a politician, someone who, okay, whether or not you agree with it, did do a lot.
Yeah.
And as opposed to someone who was born with the talent and recorded it and made a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting to see the different reactions.
The difference.
Things to say that, you know, Margaret Thatcher was much less controversial in her personal life than Whitney Houston was, but people seem to overlook, at least when it's a celebrity that's a performer as opposed to a politician, people will overlook the negative bits of their life when they pass. Whereas politicians, it's everybody comes out of the woodwork and go, oh, well, you know, they weren't that great of a president, or oh, they weren't that great of a PM, and like, I didn't like that they did this and like this. And it's not looking at the person, it's looking at the policies. And I feel like that's not fair to not only the person who's deceased, but also their family and their friends who are trying to grieve with this whole process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not, yes, it's not very respectful. There's like a lack of respect there, and that's not really okay. Just because you have a medium like the internet where you don't have to necessarily, you're not showing your like face or something like that, doesn't mean that you can just use it as a flagrant disregard for the rules of society. Yeah. There's no rule saying you can't write things that are bad on the internet, but typical societal courtesy, yeah, that's not good. Mm-hmm. Yes, so.
Close the window.
There we go. Did I see something somewhere that said her funeral was going to cost £8 million?
I thought she didn't want a state funeral, though.
Oh, is that what that was about? I knew there was something about it. Yeah, she didn't get a state funeral. She's gotten something that's one step down from a state funeral.
Oh, okay.
And it's called something else, and it was in the news today, and I really should know that because that's the article that I wrote. She just has a ceremonial funeral with military honors.
Oh, okay.
And that's just a step down from a state funeral. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So anyways.
So yes.
Yeah, so that's Margaret Thatcher's funeral for you. I think we're talking a little bit more about that in the news updates. We don't want to give away too much with that.
Not too much, yep.
Yeah. I suppose we could talk about, On the Rocks was this past week, and how it just wrapped up this week, and we could talk about all the fantastic things we saw and experienced and what we thought about them.
There we go.
So many things.
I went to Zatara, and that's about it. I think I was supposed to go to the acapella, but then I decided not to.
That's right, because you weren't feeling well around that time.
Yeah, no,
because that's why you didn't go to Julius really Caesar either.
Yeah. I was not feeling well at all.
Poor baby. Yeah, no, between Owl Eyes and Star, I was reviewing something basically every night. So it was really nice because I got into a lot of shows for free, so I was able to see a lot more than I actually would have been able to. But I was absolutely blown away by just, like, the sheer talent, not only of the actors, but so much of On the Rocks is student-written plays, like, student-written productions, and I was just blown away by the abilities of these student writers. And just the first show I saw, which was a really good way to set off the festival, I think, for me, was Bitter Root, which is written by Jonah Alpern. I hope that's how you pronounce her name. Jonah, if you're listening, I apologize if I said that incorrectly. It had like a really great cast, and the costumes were fantastic. The production team in general was fantastic. But what really stole the show for me was just the script. And the script itself, and just her writing style is fantastic, and she directed it in such a, like, she blew my mind. Like, I was absolutely amazed that was a student production, and that was a student-written play, so.
Yeah.
I have nothing but great things to say about that show, to be honest.
That's great. No, that's really good. It's always nice to hear. Yeah, I think you can underestimate how well student writers can do, but, I mean, yeah.
What about you? Lindsay, what'd you see?
I didn't get to go to anything. I was really busy, with work and stuff like that. Yeah, but how was Zatara?
Zatara was absolutely outstanding.
I've always been fascinated by the clothes and, like, especially the fabrics that they have.
Yeah, a lot of the initial ones were quite, they seem more like high fashion, if that's the right phrase. They kind of had like a lot of drapey like capes and stuff, and like a lot of designs you wouldn't necessarily associate with like Zatara, mm-hmm. But in the second half, they did a lot of stuff that was like really shiny, bright fabric with like more traditional like South Asian kind of style clothes, and like all that kind of stuff. But I mean, overall, the show is just like it knocks your socks off. Like at the end, especially in the second half. You just get blown away by, like, all the Bollywood music everywhere and, like, all the dancing and all the actors and all the models, even. And, like, the models, they just get really into it, and they're really excited, and it's really nice to see. So,
yeah.
I unfortunately wasn't able to go, but I saw all the pictures that were put up by Lightbox Creative afterwards, and it looked like everybody was having so much fun. Mm-hmm. Like, not only the people that were there for the show, but also the people involved. And, like, I had never seen so much sass on a model's face. And exactly. In some of those pictures, they just were so sassy and so into it.
Yeah, no, great.
So the choreography, what was that like? It must have, obviously, they always try to really draw the crowd in with it. But is it, more theatrical? Did it gain momentum as the show went on?
They usually try to have there's a play that's sort of acted out in between all the modeling and stuff. And I think they were trying to make it more somber towards the beginning because the bad guy the bad prince is sort of fighting the good prince because the good prince has won the heart of this woman. So they're all, like, angry. Like, it's quite angry and there's a lot of drama in it. And I think they were trying to have the first half feature a lot of clothes that were also more, like, serious, and the models were quite more serious. But then, like, once he got the girl back, once the bad guy's defeated and everything, then the show gets a lot more lighthearted, and, like, they have a little wedding ceremony that was kind of weird but cute. And it gets more vibrant that way. So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's the way it was going.
That's very cool. So they sort of followed a story.
They follow a story. That's where they get the theme. I think last year, the general consensus, I would say, is last year they did Aladdin, and that was a bit more relatable because everyone kind of knows the story. Whereas this year, I got a lot of, well, what happened? What's going on with the story? I'm not even sure. I still don't know what's going on with it. And I'm kind of like, if you read the pamphlet, it had a synopsis in it, which makes it a lot easier to follow. But a lot of people didn't have them or, like, couldn't find them or something. And they just sort of got, they didn't know what the heck was going on. And all the guys were just sitting there like, I wouldn't wear any of those clothes. I would not wear any of those clothes those guys are wearing. He's wearing a cape. It's like a dress. What the hell is going on? And I was just sitting there going, but all the girls' clothes are so pretty. I wanted all the girls' clothes. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that sounds fun.
It was a lot of fun. I think Sitara is one of the fashion shows where it's a show, but it's like it's performance and it's fun, and you can't go and not be like, you can't go and not have your doors blown off. I'm trying to say it's amazing. You can't go and be underwhelmed. Like, it's in your face and it's crazy and you have a lot of fun.
You can't go and not have a good time.
Yeah or that one.
There we go.
Anything.
I knew where you were trying to go. I knew
you understood. I saw the direction. Right, let's see. Well,
do you have any Bollywood music for our next segment?
I did try to find some. I don't think they have any. Shall I just do what I did before and just put in buzzwords like happy and love and something?
Yeah. Right, you can tell we're really prepared today, guys. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, I know, but to be fair, we weren't expecting to do the show today, guys.
This is true.
Yeah, Wednesday news team didn't show up, and so we had to step in last minute.
Okay. Oh, no. I hope this plays. Well.
Okay.
I have found something very fun that sort of reminds me of Sitara. I'll surprise you. Hopefully it plays properly.
Something's bugging, something ain't right. My best friend told me what to do last
Indeed we are.
Indeed we are.
Yeah. Sorry, that took a little bit longer than we were expecting. We wanted to play another song for you.
We did. Although we didn't expect it to be so boring. But anyway. Yes, so we're back now. We're going to turn over to some money chat. I don't know. I'm not. Yeah. I don't have a lot of
We're missing Max.
Max isn't here. It's a shame.
He could have such great
input. He would have such input on everything. Yeah. But you said you were writing a financial essay. Do you do econ or something?
No, I just took a semester-long course that's offered by the econ department that's called Topics in Finance, and it's open. It has no prerequisites or anything, so...
Oh, good.
But, yeah, it has no prerequisites, but it should, and the description of the course doesn't say anything about needing to know a lot of math. It doesn't say the word math. It doesn't say the word formula. It doesn't say anything about that. So I assume topics in finance, no prerequisites. Like, it will be very conceptual.
Yeah.
And it ended up having a lot of math in it, which was not so good for me. Because I am not the best person at math. Oh. And obviously, since I've been here, I haven't taken a course in math in a while. I took one statistics class for management last year, and that was really easy. So it was really difficult.
Statistics.
But this essay was my sort of the only way I could sort of save myself, because we had two tests in this essay, and then that was it. We don't have an exam. So I threw all of my efforts into this essay, which I hope will pay off, but it was basically, I just talked about behavioral finance and how, like, individual investors' psychological biases can affect the market.
Nice.
Rather than traditional.
Like doing cocaine.
Right. Well, that really ties into what I was talking about, because this guy who's talking about, how he sold tons of bankers cocaine and how that made them overconfident. Like, my whole argument was about how overconfidence in investors can lead to bubbles, like the housing market bubble in the U.S. So,
that's the thing that you never sort of take into account, is it? Like, how easily something can be swayed. Like, that's something you would see on a television, like a sitcom, you know? All these crazy important decisions are made because, you know, they like the color pink or something, or not, maybe something less subjective, that they were high on cocaine, or how whatever you are on cocaine, I'm not sure, I guess it'd be high, but anyway, all on cocaine, just making a bunch of these radical decisions. It doesn't seem like that's something that would be a big factor. So it's always good to read something after you've read an essay that's sort of like, well, everything I argued for was just kind of not important.
Yeah, I know. To be fair, the same guy who claimed that cocaine was the cause of all these financial crises also claimed at one time that horse riding was as safe as taking ecstasy.
David Nutt. That's a lot of drug Nutt theme stuff, isn't
it?
Yeah. Well, he was he's a former government drug czar.
Makes sense.
Doled out. Yeah.
Also, I like that term, government drug czar.
That's how the Telegraph phrased it. I don't know.
It's
something to think about.
So there's some other, the reason we brought up financial stuff is there's some money kind of related things in the news today. I will talk about the $250,000 shirt. Is that what it is?
Yeah, this guy spent $250,000 US dollars on a shirt that is, let me find it, that is made with more than 3 kilograms of gold. It is apparently an extreme case of what is a cultural, cultural obsession with gold, which is a precious metal, in India. The man's name is, I don't even know how to pronounce this, I'm gonna say it wrong. That's a fugue, is how I'm assuming it's pronounced.
Sure.
That's how it seems to be. But anyways, there are pictures of him on BBC, which is where this article was released, or where this article was published, and he is just in, this very... I feel like he could be his own disco ball. Like, I actually
do.
Because he's just bling. He's just flashy and blingy and very shiny.
And, all covered in gold. Wow. Yeah.
He's got gold chains.
This is a really
image
you should see.
Rival he's got like gold chains to like rival like Mr. T and like
yeah oh yes
like Kanye but, like,
massive and yes very massive
all sorts of people
it's big, and it's got the ohm on it as well. I think that's a great touch. Like a diamond encrusted ohm is always the best way to go.
That's perfect.
Definitely. It's great. So yeah, and he's got like rings all over his fingers and like oh my goodness. Yeah. So what is he just obsessed with gold? Is that the point, or what is he? Is he just he's a?
I think it's for it's a very much a cultural like symbol of success and affluence. And he says that when he was in college, people would always talk about like, oh, if only I had more gold stuff. You know, when I get really rich, like I'll be able to like have a ton of gold, and like all the people from rich families will wear all gold. So he always wanted to. He came from a humble background, so I think he wanted to be able to, he aspired
to do the same. Oh, yeah, so it was like a, oh, fair enough.
And it says next on his list is a phone entirely made from gold, or perhaps a pair of gold shoes.
Oh, wow. To match his gold shirt. I like that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm just, reading this article, and because I was curious about, like, how, like, easy this shirt would be to wear, because, like, it's made of gold. Yeah. And apparently he let the writer of this article try it on. And it is, according to this writer, heavy to wear and a little clunky. And since it can't be washed, like, you know, because it's made of gold, it has to be taken care not to let it get dirty, and you can't wear it if you're too sweaty.
Because it is
so basically, disgusting. He can't wear it in India in summer because it's very hot there.
And yeah,
very
obviously.
Easy to sweat in India in summer.
So it's going to be for... He probably didn't end up carrying it around with him more often than wearing it. That's just funny.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you wouldn't carry it around with him. But anyway.
It's like, imagine getting mugged and somebody not asking you, give me your wallet, but give me your shirt.
Your shirt, yeah.
Yeah, the shirt would be...
Yeah, that would be interesting.
It would be that's worth a lot more.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, when you see that, you're just sort of like, oh, that's just such an extravagant use of gold or money or whatever. But, I mean, he makes the point that some people want Mercedes and Audis and stuff. But if you see one of those in the street, you're kind of like, oh, that person's made it. Or like, oh, that's such a nice car. And yet, if you use that same amount of money to put... Well, if he has those two, well, he's got it both ways, guys. I'm doing something wrong. It's what it is. I'm doing something wrong going to uni. Although I have no idea if he went to uni or not. That's not the point. But, like, it's interesting that you can see someone with the right symbols of status or affluence, and you can sort of admire them, whereas this kind of has a tone of, well, you're just being extravagant and useless.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's kind of whatever makes him happy, and... Yeah. Frankly, I'd like to see a lot of that if he's putting that money into having a shirt made of gold. I would have liked to see some of that money go to charity or go to some other, like, go to his children's college fund or something. But I mean, hey, if he's got the kind of money to drop on a gold shirt, then I'm sure he has enough money to donate to charity, and I'm sure he has a ton of money to put into, like, his children if he has any like university tuition funds. And, like, save a lot of it for retirement. So I'm sure, like, it's kind of one of those things that we assume that because he's spending the money on this, he's not spending it on other things. But at the same time, he could just have it both ways. He could just have so much money that buying a gold shirt, like, he can definitely do that because he has tons of money left over for other more important things.
Exactly.
So.
All right, I think we're going to take a break and do the news bulletin.
Yes.
And then we'll come back with a little bit more money chat, I think. And we'll see you in a bit, yeah. I'll leave you with a song that I found before. I don't remember what the song was.
What song were you looking for?
Something to do with money.
Money.
Oh, wait, you know what it was? I remember what it was now.
You could do ABBA.
Hang on, I queued it up.
You could do ABBA's Money. Oh, okay, that works too. All right, Money for Nothing by Dire Straits.
Whoops, that's not Money for Nothing by Dire Straits. Can I do this again?
There we go.
Thank you. working. That's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chips for free. Now that ain't working. That's the way you do it. Let me tell you, damn guys ain't dumb. Maybe get a pistol on your little finger. Maybe get a pistol on your thumb.
Ministers condemn North Korean nuclear weapons programs.
Big Ben silent for Patrick's funeral.
Live from Star Studios, this is Star News.
It's Monday, the 15th of April. With today's news, I'm Amanda Hollinger.
And I'm Lindsay Aon. Foreign ministers from the G8 group of nations have condemned in the strongest possible terms North Korea's nuclear weapons and ballistic missile programs. The summit, which consists of representatives from Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Russia, the UK, and the US, will meet for their annual gathering in June, but have combined to release a statement against the actions of the North Korean government. US President Barack Obama called on North Korea to end its, quote, belligerent approach to relations between themselves, South Korea, and the resultant impact on the rest of the world, as tensions on the Korean Peninsula continue to rise. Meanwhile, a Pentagon spy report concluded, quote, with moderate confidence, end quote, that North Korea had the capability to launch nuclear-armed missiles, but that the reliability of these weapons was low. The UN chief said that they hope border countries, including China, can exercise their, quote, leadership and influence so that the situation can be resolved peacefully, end quote.
The chimes of Big Ben will be silenced for the length of Margaret Thatcher's funeral as a, quote, appropriate means of indicating our sentiments, says the House of Commons Speaker John Bercow. The silence will last throughout the procession from Westminster and the ceremony at St. Paul's Cathedral on Wednesday. It has not been silenced as a sign of respect since the funeral of Prime Minister Winston Churchill in 1965. Lady Thatcher has been accorded a ceremonial funeral with military honors, only one step down from a state funeral. Attendees at the funeral will include the Queen and Prince Philip, former Prime Minister Tony Blair and his wife, Dame Shirley Bassey, and the U.S. politician Newt Gingrich.
Research conducted in 11 hospitals by Beth Israel Medical Center in New York found that live music can be soothing and beneficial to premature babies. It was found that live music, played or sung, helped slow infants' heartbeats, calm their breathing, aid sleep, and create states of quiet alertness. Doctors say that by mitigating stress and stabilizing vital signs, music can enable infants to devote more time to normal development. These small improvements, while subtle, can be significant, considering that premature births have increased to nearly 500,000 since 1990 in the U.S. alone. Many hospitals believe that music to be as effective as, and safer than, sedating infants before procedures. Dr. Thomas Truman of Tallahassee Memorial Hospital said that infants who had music played to them were able to go home earlier, quote, at least by a couple of days, compared to babies that weren't getting any music therapy.
A town in Louisiana has introduced a ban on wearing saggy trousers in public. The town council of Terrebonne Parish passed the proposition 8-1, effectively imposing a tiered system of fines for offenders, quote, flying their trousers at half-mast, unquote. Fines range from $50 U.S. dollars for first-time offenders to $100 U.S. dollars and 16 hours of community service for a third offense. Terrebonne Council Vice Chairman Russell Hornsby suggested that the council revisit the saggy trouser ban in 1 year's time to gauge its effectiveness and potentially reevaluate the decision. And those are today's headlines. More news tomorrow at 5:30 or anytime on the news page of the Star website.
Oh, great job, guys.
Yay, thank you.
Lots of fun and exciting news. You did a good job. It was a bit late today, but be all right. We were just chatting about other things, so we got a bit distracted.
Got too excited.
And that's just what you want, isn't it?
No. Yeah.
Get excited about the news. So, we were talking about some money issues before the break. I think another item of news that's come up today is minimum wages rising. So, that's good for people that have jobs here. I think... Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Some of my friends work at the Fairmont. They're excited slightly about it.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
As they should be.
There you go.
Be good.
Yeah.
What's it being raised to? Do you know off the top of your head?
It's six something or other. I think it's being raised. I'm not sure how much it's being raised, to be honest.
Okay.
It's being raised to $6.31.
Ooh.
And yes. I'm not sure what it's being raised. I don't know. I just don't know. I know that it's going up, and I know that it's 6:31. It's going to be raised by 12p an hour. There.
Okay, there you go. You got it.
Words. The words decided to formulate from my mouth. Thank you.
Oh. That's not bad.
Yeah.
And the Delhi government has also raised minimum wages for certain workers. For unskilled, semi-skilled, and skilled categories.
Oh, good.
And workers, too. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So people are getting more money now. It's exciting.
Yeah. God, that makes me think about summer jobs. Oh.
Is anyone working here for the summer?
It's in the air. I picked up an application today to work here over the summer in DRA.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, my Hall of Residence Macintosh is also offering positions, but DRA is offering me housing, and I don't think Macintosh will be. So DRA is the better option, because then I'll have a place to live.
Okay.
Because the closer I got to going home, the more excited I got to see my friends and, like, have a fun summer, and then I started to think about it, go, I'm going to be working all my life. Like, and I'm not a fan of my jobs, just because, you know, who's a huge fan of their jobs, but I particular... Mm-hmm. Don't think I can handle another summer back there. So, trying to find other options.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you guys? Enough. What are you doing for the summer?
What about you, Denora?
I'm going to be spending a glamorous summer studying for my LSATs.
Ooh.
But when I'm not doing that, I'm going to be up at a pharmaceutical company in New York doing
that
some filing. Nice.
Yeah. I mean, it's lucky not. It's actually better than it sounds. I do really enjoy that job. So, it's quite good. Yeah.
What you're interested in.
Yeah, I kind of think, I mean, it sort of made me think I might go into some kind of pharmaceutical law. But, I mean, honestly, it changes. The only thing I've known resolutely is that I'm going to law school. What I'm going to do with it afterwards has just changed so many times, it's not even funny anymore.
Which is normal.
Yeah, but at least you have what you're doing after you graduate undergrad.
Yes, like, I'm going to more school and accumulating more debt.
Yay!
Yay! That's exactly what I'm going to do. How about you, Lindsay? What are you up to this summer?
I work at a restaurant at home, and I make pretty good money there, and I like it for the most part, so I'm going to keep working there, obviously, because that's a great job, and I'm going to be interning for Senator and hopefully my state governor. I have an interview for the governor's internship like tomorrow, so
that's very exciting. Good luck.
Yeah, but right now I'll be definitely interning for a senator, so I'm excited because I'll just commute into Boston, which will be a nice change of scenery, but I can still work and make money.
That's really good.
So it's good.
I'll be busy. How do you like restaurant working?
It's never boring. Never ever boring, which is good for me. It's very stressful. It's very intense. And it's exhausting, but I like the money.
Yeah.
I do.
The money's good.
The money's great. The food is really good.
There you go.
Dangerous, because at the end of the night they make this great bread with like cheese on it, so they have all this leftover bread at the end of the night.
Right.
And that 10 o'clock at night is never a good time to be eating anything with carbs. Of course.
No.
You can't bear to see the bread go away. So
exactly.
It's good. It has its perks, but it's definitely dirty. You know, stressful. But I like
it. Kind of annoying. But do you just wait tables?
I actually am not a server. I'm a hostess, a food runner, and I bus.
Nice.
So,
yeah.
Because you have to be 21 to serve.
Really?
Places at home, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I would assume nicer places.
Yeah, so.
Like, because that's, for alcohol, right?
Yeah.
Do you have to be 21 to serve alcohol in?
Yeah. Well, some restaurants prefer it because, I mean, it's a little bit silly at a lot of restaurants if people want suggestions about wine with their meal.
Right. Oh, yeah. And you'd be like, well.
Oh, so you must work somewhere very nice. I just worked at this, like, dingy Italian restaurant where they're like, don't open any. I was 17, and they were like, don't open any bottles of wine, even if they ask you. They could be a health inspector trying to catch us on something and find us a lot of money. And I was like, okay, I won't touch any of the alcohol. So, yeah, that was about it. Yeah.
It is nice. They actually, I don't know if you guys watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, show with Larry David, writer of Seinfeld.
Sorry.
It's hilarious. Well, they were like scouted at a restaurant.
Wow.
To shoot there, so that was interesting. But yeah, it's fun. So I'll be going back there.
Yeah.
Be good.
Yeah.
I know what you mean by working in a restaurant being very stressful and fast paced. I one of my jobs back at home over the summer is I waitress for a catering company. So it's a little bit different, but kind of the same thing, because it is constant. It's constant movement. It's constant stress. You're struggling to balance like 12 plates on a huge platter, and you're like, can't drop any of these. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But you're right. The money is pretty good.
Yeah, that's true.
That's one of those things.
The things we do for
jobs
money.
The things we do for money. Yeah. Exactly.
That sounds a little bad, but.
Well.
Can we just look at the window? It is like sunshine.
It is beautiful.
And rain.
Oh.
It's raining right now.
I'm not looking out the window. That's why it's beautiful.
But it's very bright. It's incredibly bright, but it is downpour.
The sun is behind us right now, but it's just cloudy.
Yeah.
It's been so nice, Pascal.
It has.
It's very warm.
I haven't worn tights.
Excited Springs
decided
to show up.
In a week. It's been.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's been summer clothes. It's been
really
great.
Warm.
Oh,
I'm
there's
really
a
excited.
Rainbow.
Oh. Rainbow, yay.
Sorry, we get very excited.
Oh, we get way too excited about things. It's okay.
Yeah.
We'll be fine.
We should be glad that Max and Mark are here, because they would make fun of us for being excited.
They
about
would.
Rainbows.
They just Max is just sitting here. He'll
be all grumpy in the corner.
Smirk of. Unamusement, disamusement, lack of amusement. Don't really know if that's a word. Yeah. Anyway, he'd just be bemused, maybe. That might be the right word.
Definitely the
bemused
right word.
Bemused by overexcitement.
There we go. Yeah. Just sort of cynical and like, I'm going to go home and read some more political theory.
Yeah.
And ignore you all.
Definitely.
And debate.
So do we feel like some summer paradise before we wrap it up? In a bit?
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds good to me.
To start complaining about how silly the internet is.
Bringing it back to full circle, if you guys can remember back at the beginning of our news hour when we were talking about Justin Bieber thinking that or hoping that Anne Frank would be a believer, the internet has since responded to this. Denora, do you want to fill them in?
Yes. Well, we found an article on BuzzFeed of all places.
Our favorite website.
Because it's the best place to go. And it's a joke. It just writes up all the things about Justin Bieber's fans, just the reactions to it in general. So, most of Justin Bieber fans tweeted things like, "Who's Anne Frank?" One of my favorites was, "Who's Anne Frank and why is Justin visiting her house? Why can't he come to my house? Frowny face," which I think is just atrocious on so many levels. Uh-huh.
revamped the American education system.
I know. The whole American education system just needs to be rewritten.
Although, to be fair, we don't know that these are Americans.
Oh, my God.
We assume, and that's horrible as us as being Americans, but we don't know for sure.
I'm racist against myself accidentally. This is a new level of badness.
Reform the education systems, period, around
the
world.
All the education systems.
All the education systems.
I don't know. Oh, God. All right, and then there was some, what else? There are a lot of pictures about how she would be listening to Justin Bieber up in the attic, but there is a fake journal entry that I think was quite interesting. Dear Diary, I hope the Germans don't kill me. I really want to make it to the Believe Tour in Amsterdam next month. Mrs. Ann Bieber Hart. Which is just, oh, God. This is not fun. But it's just, it's quite bad. I like the poor guy.
I like Lena Dunham's, from so the actress from Girls. I liked her tweet. Like, I honestly didn't think I was going to find most of this amusing, but she posted the following. Anne was dope. Hopefully she would have gone to the window to the wall, as quoted by Little John in regards to Anne Frank.
And then the Ricky Gervais one is quite good as well. I agree with Justin Bieber. Anne Frank would have loved his stuff. It's perfect for being played really, really quietly so no one can hear it. Which is probably just encapsulates this whole thing in general. How are people so stupid, and why is Justin Bieber so bad?
But to be fair, everybody's allowed to like Justin. Like, everybody's allowed to have their own taste in music. So,
but it's amazing it's amazing how we're taught to idolize people that just can say the dumbest thing. And I mean, everyone has their bad days. That's totally fine. But I personally don't understand the Bieber, and I'm gonna get in trouble because Kebab Shop's coming up next, and they're just gonna be angry at me. But I just don't understand it.
Because we're talking about Bieber? Do they love Bieber?
Because we're slightly bashing Bieber. And they're going to be unhappy.
Do we have some Beliebers in the kebab shop?
We have some fans. I don't know if they're Beliebers. We'll ask them. We will do. Yeah, but anyway, it's just, like, I just don't understand how we've gotten to a point where we can... And, I mean, he sings well. We can rally around that. But his fans scare me. Like, they scare me so much. They are intense. I'm like, you really need, like, they needed some sort of outlet.
But are his fans...
Girls, like, between the ages of 12 and 14 shouldn't be allowed to have Twitter or Facebook or anything like that. That's just a general...
I mean, that's too young anyways. I remember when we were 13... when I was, like, 13, I think.
I'm taking over the world, guys.
Yeah. Dictatorship. Nora.
No internet.
But I remember, like, when we were, like, 12, 13, I think... I don't know if this is just something our parents told me and I believed it because I was really gullible, or like if Twitter or if Facebook actually said that you had to be 13 in order to make an account, but that used to be the case.
I think it still is the
case.
Yeah,
and then I think, but kids are getting smart. They're like, oh, my birthday is 1992.
Yeah, they can just, all you have to do is lie about when your birthday is. You don't have to have like proof of identification or anything like that.
It's like, here's my driver's license.
Proof of identity. Yeah, no, exactly. You don't have to do any of that. It's just sort of like, well... Yeah. You can do it whenever. You just have to make sure that you put in the right date.
Yeah.
Because if not, then they'll be able to tell. Yes, so with that, what music should we put on at the end?
I don't know. Anything you'd like. Anything.
What's happened? Well, I think... Well, I mean, I don't know. Lindsay, what do you think?
I don't know.
Your musical choice of the day.
There you go. Or just maybe your favorite song, if we have it.
Give us, like, a buzzword. Give us a buzzword, and we'll search.
What happened today with just sort of... chatting about on air. Maybe you want to put something up that Mark would like
something Mark would like.
Just search acapella. Pretty much anything that I like. He likes a lot of the same music as I do, which I find surprising. Let's see. I don't know. I don't want to play other guys though. That's also I'm interested in playing.
We'll do something. We'll come up with something interesting.
Skyfall. We should work. Do you want to play Skyfall
all
for
the
five billionth time on Mondays, guys?
Yeah.
No, thank you. All right, I'm going to put this up. I'm going to put up Sugar because I feel like that's a sassy, like Mark.
Okay.
I like something. It. Maybe. I don't know. Addicted to You by Shakira. No.
I can't help myself. I see that's on the list.
Red Hot Chili Peppers. No, that scares me. This is on the music quiz.
Okay, do it.
And that's his show. There we go. This is a tribute.
All right, tribute to Mark
Gregory. You can't be here with us today. I think that's
poor Max. He doesn't get a tribute.
I know Max doesn't get it. Should we make a tribute to Max?
Yeah, Mark, because Mark tributes.
What can we do about Max?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm gonna search Max and see if that comes up with anything.
Anyway, search it is. Max. It's working. It's working. All right.
Heavy Salad. Friends of mine have this show. Heavy Salad. Young MC, Bust a Move.
I like it. Do it. All right. I like it. Max, this is for you. This is clearly your persona.
Exactly. There we go.
He likes to bust a move.
All right. This has been Monday News Team. Lindsay and Amanda and I, thank you very much for listening.
And putting up with our crazy.
There
As always.
Yeah.
Here's a jam for all the fellas. Try to do what those ladies tell us. Get shot down cause you're overzealous. Play hard to get females get jealous. Okay, smarty, go to a party. Girls are scantily clad or showing body. A chick walks by, you wish you could sex her, but you're standing on the wall like you was Poindexter. Next day's function, high class.